Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 17th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Also, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. What do you call it, a day and morning? Yeah, man, we're talking about this disgraceful situation where we celebrate Martin Luther King literally every year. What is it, MLK Day today, they say? What a shame. Hopefully we'll get into that in more detail with Dr. Scott Bradley next hour. But I'm telling you, what a disgrace it is, ladies and gentlemen, big time. Look, MLK Day is a federal holiday held on the third Monday of January. That's today. It celebrates, they say, the life and the achievements of King Jr. They call him an influential American civil rights leader. Ladies and gentlemen, it couldn't be further from the truth. Look, there's evidence of King's communism and his communist connections and his adultery, which literally contradicts his stance as a minister of God preaching virtue in public life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand why anybody would honor Martin Luther King, but even if you say I can understand why the Democrats and the Democratic Party honoring King, why are conservatives and Republicans honoring Martin Luther King? And a better question, even furthermore, is why would we use taxpayer dollars to pay homage to him? I don't understand it, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, our buddy Cliff Kincaid wrote a great article relating to this over at American Survival, Inc. The problem, though, is in Cliff Kincaid's article, he kind of glorifies the need to stay in foreign wars, which I'm pretty much against. But it's a great column, nevertheless. But here's the deal. Why does the man of the myth with Martin Luther King still persist, huh? Because Republicans are promoting it. That's why. Where's the challenge, Donald? Let's see. Let's look up Donald Trump, Martin Luther King. Does Trump mention it? Does Trump back it? Does Trump reject it? What's up with that? Anyway, only time will tell. A quick recap of Saturday's show. Yes, we were indeed live Saturday. And Sam sounds off on the reason for and the mission of Liberty Roundtable Live. Mentions our partners and contributors and a whole lot more. A huge, grandiose thanks goes out to all of them. Sam also doubles down in defense of Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of Oath Keepers. You say, Sam, why would you double down in defense of Stewart? You know, we're getting more evidence that he's probably guilty. He's been arrested, da-da-da-da-da. I know all that. But the only information you get about Stuart Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, is from the government and the CIA-ran press, which means the government in bed with the press. Is that the information you're going to rely on? They literally, without probable cause, in my personal opinion, violated his rights. You all thought Signal was secure because it was, quote, digitally encrypted, but the government broke that without even blinking an eye and violated private communications, etc. We're only hearing snippets of truth of what Stuart really had to say, and we're going to use the government as our litmus test to say, oh, man, you know, hey, Stuart, there's more damning evidence about him. I'm not buying it, folks. I'm not telling you Stuart's perfect. I don't necessarily always agree with his tactics. But I'm telling you, we better be very careful before we start heave-hoing patriots overboard. Because all I can tell you is this. Now, they put together a bar way too high. I mean, are they going to get a lawyer like Stuart Rhodes? Are they really going to nail him to the wall on these charges? I doubt it. Why are they arresting him? I don't know. You say, well, man, Sam, that's just further proof he works for the FBI and everything else. I don't see it that way. I just don't. There's a lot of political prisoners in prison, folks. And the only people that are really running around free are the people that perpetrated January 6th crimes. So that's very interesting indeed. Anyway, we covered that in detail. I'm defending Stuart Rhodes. I'm not even necessarily defending what he did or didn't do, because I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what he did or didn't do. But I know this, when I watch videos of what happened, who breached the, I'm not sure what to call it, breached the perimeter or caused the trouble January 6th or whatever, Stuart Rhodes was not even among all the folks videoed. He wasn't there at all. So I find that interesting. We also talked about for virus testing, saliva may be a better option. Literally, as Omicron spreads, experts are now calling for a switch to saliva-based tests, saying that they can tell days before the nose test. Believe it or not, the virus appears in your throat way before. The testing that we currently do has many, many problems now, say experts. Why are they telling us this 2 years later? Okay? We don't have enough tests because Biden blew it. And now we say virus tests should be done through the throat, not the nose, because you could tell days earlier. Well, man, that sure would have been nice before we spread it to everybody in about four rounds of coronavirus. And as they claim, you know, 800,000 people dead and everything else. Wow, they should have told us this a couple years ago. CDC now admits cloth masks are not as effective as others. Well, again, why didn't they tell us that a long time ago? We've all known that, but hey, the CDC has kind of doubled down on their lies for 2 years on that too, huh? A mask is a mask, wear a mask. Now they're saying you got to wear tight-fitting masks. Glenn Beck's second bout with COVID, a little disturbing, but Glenn says he's not too concerned. He's having ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and everything else now too, just like Joe Rogan. And Glenn Beck is not vaccinated, so good for Glenn. Sad that he got the COCO twice. Our prayers are with Glenn and his family. A possible COVID benefit, they say? Medical face masks make us more attractive, new study finds. Medical or surgical face masks used to be associated with sickness. Now they say, hey, it's making men and women more attractive. These people are really deranged. I'm telling you right now, the psychosis surrounding COVID is just beyond imagination. We also talked about a poll saying U.S. Americans believe that America is facing a mental health crisis. Boy, howdy are they. The increasing hysteria over the climate change industry just highlights the point. Inflation becomes stagflation, and neither are transitory, says Joel Skousen at worldaffairsbrief.com. Stagflation, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is when the real rate of inflation rises to 10, 15, or above percent, and the lower middle class have to cut back on expenditures. And what that does then is slow it all down. It levels off due to lower demand. It's called stagflation. Prices are out of the reach of the average Joe, but yet the average Joe's not spending money. Stagflation. Beware of that. All right, that's a recap of Saturday's show. We turn the news the networks refuse to use, and it all starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, back with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, Sam. It's good to be with you.
Before we get to the news of the day that you got, I want to really mention, though, that literally now they've done studies and they say people are more attractive with masks on. And the propaganda is at an all-time high, Lowell. This is psychotic. They literally lie and deceive and manipulate the public for 2 years. Then they come back with a study then that even further dishonestly manipulates the truth as they try to railroad masks even to this late date in the game, knowing they're not safe and effective. But people are getting kicked off all kinds of platforms for telling you how bogus masks are. Although we've been right all along, but now they're literally saying, hey, people are more attractive. So if you're on a dating site, what you really want to do is to take your dating picture now with your mask on. I mean, these people have lost their minds, Lowell.
Sounds to me like they're trying to use some social pressure to get people to wear masks, you know, even though it defies common sense, Sam.
The other thing that's funny is, you know, Kirk Cosby was always called that leading the witness, right?
Yeah, leading the witness, yep.
Wow. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us, ladies and gentlemen, always doing a phenomenal job. Let's kick it off and let's do it right. Our Supreme Court blocks Biden's vaccine mandate for private businesses, theepictimes.com. That's the good news. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 vote, blocked the vaccine mandate for private businesses. That's the good news, right? but decided on a 5-4 ruling or vote to allow the mandate for health care workers, ladies and gentlemen. So it's a split decision. Richard Mack predicted the politics of it from the beginning. It's a disaster, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion. And two Donald Trump-appointed judges are the ones that betrayed us on this, Lowell.
Exactly right, Sam. And I know this is old news. Their opinions were rendered last Thursday. And so I think everybody already knows about these decisions. But what I wanted to emphasize was the fact that, you know, the court was saying that if Congress had given OSHA the authority to issue a mandate like this, then they would have backed the OSHA mandate. But because Congress did not give OSHA that authority back in 1970 when they passed the OSH Act, then, of course, OSHA doesn't have the authority. But what nobody is asking is who gave Congress the authority to provide such a mandate, right? I mean, all legislation, all rulemaking is done by Congress. Now, your Congress is not supposed to delegate that authority to anyone, even though they have for years, to the alphabet soup agency.
Well, let's be very clear, ladies and gentlemen, the supreme law of the land, with its checks and balances, said all authority lies with Congress. It doesn't give any authority or direction that they can turn that power over to some other agent on their behalf. There's no support for that whatsoever if you look at the supreme law of the land. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org in seconds.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. We're talking about the Supreme Court case. Win on one hand that, hey, businesses cannot be forced. Barack Hussein. Okay, it's not Barack, it's Joe. I just wonder if Barack's pulling the strings. Nevertheless, Joe Biden, that can't really put two sentences together, literally went ahead and said, yeah, you're going to force businesses for vaccines. The court said no, no authority. But for government health workers, absolutely yes. The problem with that, Lowell?
Is there is no authority vested in the general government to issue such a mandate. See, the states are the ones who empowered this general government. And they listed specifically what authority the general government has, and they did not list labor law or business as some one of the things that the Congress could regulate or that the general government could regulate. That means that neither the Congress nor the president nor the courts can meddle in labor law within the states. That's purely the purview of the states. And so if you look at the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, that should govern here. And everybody's ignoring that. The Supreme Court is ignoring that in issuing those rulings. What they should have said is that both mandates are not constitutional because the states did not vest that authority in the general government. That's what they should have said. Sam?
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand, when government money corrupts the system, you know what? Everybody said in the Republican Party they wanted to get out of the healthcare industry, that they wanted to shut down Obamacare, that they want. It's never going to happen with all that money rolling, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the Federal Reserve discussion of Rand and Ron Paul and others who have been speaking out so boldly about the Federal Reserve. Look, there's no end to the shenanigans with the Federal Reserves are rolling. The only way to stop all this is to get rid of the dishonest money in the first place. And you say, well, we can't go back now, Sam. The horse is already out of the barn. Yeah, you can. You can return to honesty anytime, anywhere. It might take a little bit of transition time. I get it. Repentance is hard. But change is always possible. Never forget that reality. And what I'm telling you is, you know what? Government money corrupts the system. Always has, always will. Okay? And if we weren't dependent on the government dole, then we wouldn't be. Okay, the states should have health autonomy. The danger in the court's opinion, though, is wresting power from the states. And Congress then might think they have the authority to give to OSHA. Of course, they wouldn't have authority because they don't have the rights to violate state sovereignty. They also don't have the right to create OSHA in the first place, a federal government fiasco, a dishonest, unconstitutional program. Okay, Congress would wrongfully or unconstitutionally give authority to OSHA to mandate the vaccine, and then in that case, the court would then say, oh, well, then that's okay because Congress said so. Not so fast, as you wisely point out, Lowell, and I want to repeat this because this is really the takeaway from the whole discussion. Why is no one asking whether Congress even has the authority to give such permission to OSHA or authority to OSHA? Why are people not really asking that question? Because that's the fundamental question, and I don't hear any Republicans asking it.
Well, it's up to us to ask our public servants. They need to know loud and clear what the real issue is. And if they don't hear from us, then they're just going to go blithely on, ignorantly on, and continue their ways. So we need to educate them. And if they don't respond appropriately, then we need to replace them. That's the bottom line.
Ladies and gentlemen, so that's your marching orders at Liberty Roundtable Live. Not that we give out orders, but, you know, we jokingly, but... you know, directly say, hey, it's your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to look at that nuanced court decision and say, hey, good for them on the private side. Shame on the betrayers for the, quote, healthcare side. They've abused us and manipulated things regarding healthcare recently. Even the conservative judges so long. What is it? Roberts has betrayed us so many times it isn't even funny. But the long and short of it is you need to go to your representatives, though, and say, listen, Congress, you don't have the authority to give OSHA any power at all. OSHA is unconstitutional, and we need to make sure you realize that you do not even have authority. It's danger in the courts, but it's also danger in the Congress. Money corrupts the system, and it's going to be very hard to stop it with that kind of money rolling. That's true on literally every front. Who will save us from this insane tyranny, Lowell?
Only you, Sam. Only you have the power to save yourself.
And by the way, you doesn't mean Sam Bushman. You means each one of us individually, right?
That's right. Now, Gary D. Barnett made an excellent observation in an article posted at lourockwell.com on Saturday. He first quoted someone named Carl Gustav Jung. I don't know this individual.
I think you're saying it right.
Okay. Anyway, Jung said, quote, in the last analysis, the essential thing is the life of the individual. This alone makes history. Here alone do the great transformations take place. And the whole future, the whole history of the world ultimately springs as a gigantic summation from this hidden source in individuals. End of quote. Now, breaking that down, what I think he's saying is that he's talking about the power of one. the power of you talking to each one of you individually. And I, this thought here, this next thought here doesn't come from Barnett. It comes from me. But as I read his article, I thought of Jesus Christ, one individual, and what a difference he made for all mankind. And then I thought of Esther in the Bible, one individual, and what a difference that she made for the Jewish people in her kingdom. The list goes on and on, Sam. Now, Barnett, what he puts it this way. He says, quote, "Here we are in an age of fear and excuses, an age of collective madness that strives for the death of the individual. Little do the masses know, as the end of individuality is the end of man. The crowd can destroy us, but the individual can save us. The idea of self, then, is the savior of humanity. For all efforts that rely on the masses as a whole to awaken to the idea of freedom will fail, as the mass will never act to free itself until it is too late." End of quote. Now, Sam, that doesn't say a lot for the crowd, for the masses. It really doesn't. But then Barnett writes this, quote, "It does not take huge numbers for the fight for freedom to survive and prosper. It takes only a minority of very courageous individuals to turn this tide of tyranny. The masses collectively will not win this battle, and in fact will hamper all efforts due to their indifference. But the few awakened can move mountains. If the few become greater in number, the evil can be defeated." End of quote. Now, who does that remind you of, Sam? That reminds me of Sam Adams, right? He said that it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. That's what Barnett is reminding us of. I just love this.
And by the way, in the vaccine fight, just to be clear, you know what? We're starting to win this as people realize more and more the dangers and the harm that the vaccines are producing. As people realize that they, you know, told us for 2 years, literally, hey, let us get the vaccines fast-tracked for the first year. Second year, let us go ahead and just shoot everybody up with an experimental trial drug. People kind of went, okay. But now we're looking at it going, hey, the vaccinated are getting as sick and or spreading it just as much as everybody else. People are realizing the narrative was bogus. And now people are starting to push back. And the more we push back, the better. But we're seeing a lot of changes from the pushback. If the pushback wasn't so hardcore at the courts, we wouldn't have 80,000 private businesses off the hook now, if you will. The tyranny would have been allowed to stand. So it's the pushback that we're giving that's really making the difference here. And let's be clear, a lot of people believe, hey, liberty's already, you know, done. The goose is cooked. The fat lady's sung. But we're proving that's not true. We're proving that when we push back and that when we get organized and when we protest, when we say we're not going to wear masks everywhere, we're not going to do this, we're not going to get vaccinated, we're starting to gain ground here. And it's because Americans are realizing, waking up and deciding to not be silent anymore. This is critical to note on the heels of the very point that Gary Barnett's making, which is, you know what? Who will save us from this insane tyranny? Only you have the power to save yourself. This is where people are standing up. We're seeing evidence all over from the courts. To all kinds of venues. Businesses are saying, hey, we're done with this. We're done with the masks. Individuals and families, people are going to church. They're not shutting down churches. People are, okay, we're gaining on it, lol.
Yeah, absolutely right, Sam. The bottom line in essence of this article is that you, meaning each one of us individually, are the ones to stand against this tyranny. Don't look to government to solve a problem. Don't look to, I mean, it's great that the court made that decision and freed 84 million American workers from the coercive pressure of, you know, having to take the vax or be tested every week. I mean, that's a win. That's a good thing to celebrate, yeah. But it you know, we can't just depend on government to solve our problems. We need to solve them ourselves, Sam.
Get her done is the way the cable guy says it, right? All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A gunman who took four people hostage at a Dallas area synagogue and was killed himself as federal agents stormed the temple was identified Sunday as a British citizen. 44-year-old Malik Faisal Akram held the hostages for roughly 10 hours. In an update, police in the United Kingdom have arrested two teenagers allegedly connected to the hostage taking.
We face the difficulties of today and tomorrow. I still have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. That all men are created equal.
The birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was recognized as a federal holiday in 1983. Today, Americans celebrate the life and legacy of the civil rights leader. Many businesses and institutions around the country will be closed in observance of the national holiday. USA Radio News.
Is your business struggling to get clients? Are you looking to save money on your marketing budget? Look no further than BC Media and Associates. BC Media and Associates is a full-service advertising agency that offers the lowest rates possible for primetime radio, TV, OTT, and billboard marketing. Call now to find out how you can get a free week of advertising. 855-959-2288. That's 855-959-2288. BC Media and Associates has over 20 years' experience of helping businesses like yours run successful and profitable marketing campaigns. Whether you're a small local company, regional or national company, the team at BC Media and Associates has the expertise to get the results that your business needs. Call BC Media and Associates today to find out how you can get a free week of advertising. Restrictions apply. 855-959-2288. 855-959-2288. That's 855-959-2288. Or visit them online at bcmediaassociates.com.
We have more information from Russia's suspected cyber attacks against Ukraine government computers late last week.
Microsoft saying over the weekend dozens of computer systems at an unspecified number of Ukrainian government agencies have been infected with destructive malware disguised as ransomware. Ukraine saying Sunday that Russia was behind a cyber attack that defaced its government websites and alleged that Russia is engaged in an increasing, quote, hybrid war against its neighbor. A statement from the Ministry of Digital Development says all evidence indicates that Russia is behind the cyber attack. Moscow continues to wage a hybrid war and is actively building up its forces in the information and cyber spaces. The attack comes as the threat of a Russian invasion of Ukraine looms and diplomatic talks to resolve the tense standoff appear stalled. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
NFL playoffs over the weekend. Cincinnati, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Kansas City all advance. Tonight, Arizona will play at the Los Angeles Rams. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, everybody else is talking about MLK. I say shut down MLK Day. The guy was a communist. The guy was a pervert. The guy was involved in rapes and all kinds of orgies and everything else, flat out of step with what we're told about him. The man and the myth still persists, ladies and gentlemen. Understand the Democratic Party might like Martin Luther King, but why the heck are the Republicans and conservatives dealing with this guy? Everything that he did, really, from his communism to his loose sexual morals, all contradict his stance as a minister of God. So anyway, I reject MLK Day. But while everybody else is talking about Martin Luther King, I want to talk about a real patriot. I want to talk about somebody who we ought to, if we're going to have a day for all kinds of random people, this guy deserves a day. Abraham Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Who is he, you may ask? You're about to find out, lol.
One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Now, I was reminded of his story at the Liberty United event on Saturday. By Jason Preston, who is running for Congress in the 3rd District here in Utah. He retold the story of Abraham Clark. So I looked it up again last night for myself and decided it is worth retelling. Sam, you know, a good story is like
yes,
a good
it
song.
Is.
You can hear it over and over again. You still like it. In fact, you like it more every time you hear it. So,
Ladies and gentlemen, you feel the spirit of liberty, though. This is what changes hearts and minds. When you tell stories that are true, and the Holy Ghost has the ability to touch one's soul. Everybody's soul, when given the right opportunities, cry out for liberty. Okay? This gets it done, Lowell.
The question Jason asked us before telling this story was very simple. What is the price of freedom? So I ask you here now to consider, while you hear this story, consider the question. What is price of freedom? What are you willing to pay for your liberty? Well, Abraham Clark emerged from his house one day as a redcoat approached on a horse. Dismounting, the rider asked, "Are you Abraham Clark?" Abraham said, "I am." The rider said, "I have a note from Lord General Howe himself, sir. I'm to await your reply." Well, Abraham tore open the sealed envelope proffered by the rider and read it. By this time, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was by his side. "What is it?" she asked. "Good news and bad," Abraham replied. "Adam and Charles are both alive, but both have been captured. The note hints that if I renounce my rebel ways publicly, they will receive far better treatment than common prisoners." What parenthetically, let me just insert here that what Abraham was talking about was when he talked about my rebel ways, they were talking about his signature on the Declaration of Independence. Okay, back to the story now. Well, Sarah asked the writer, "Where are they being held? Are they together or apart?" "I don't rightly know, madame," the writer said. "I suspect they would be held on the prison ship HMS Jersey." "Hell hole," spat Sarah. "What are you to do, Abraham?" Well, Abraham placed a comforting hand on Sarah's shoulder and gently but firmly asked her to go back in the house. Once she was inside, Abraham said to the writer, "Here is your reply to Lord General Howe. The cause of independence is bigger and more important than any one man or any two. When I signed the Declaration of Independence, I pledged my sacred honor. That, sir, is not for sale, even to the expense of my two eldest sons. If Howe were a man of honor, he wouldn't need any proclamations from me to treat every prisoner of war in a decent, humane manner." Abraham dropped the dispatch to the ground, turned, and re-entered his home. As the rider galloped away, Abraham and Sarah embraced each other and just sobbed. Well, Sam, they paid a dear price for liberty. What price are you willing to pay for your liberty, Sam?
Oh, man, that's a very serious question. And since I've been attacked by the IRS, the FCC, and the USDA all at the same time, I'm pretty much willing to give quite a bit on the altar of liberty, but obviously nothing like these founders have given. And I am not lost on the fact that this guy's name is Abraham. And I tie that to the biblical Abraham account of sacrificing his son Isaac to the Lord. And I just can't believe there's not a lesson there to understand too.
Parallel. Lol. Absolutely, Sam.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, the Clarks paid a dear price for liberty. Sadly, many of the founders gave up a lot for liberty. Not only is the question poignant, purposeful, and ever-present, what are you willing to give on the altar of liberty? But I want to also ask, too, ladies and gentlemen, what are you willing to do for liberty? It's one thing to be forced to give up something. It's another thing to voluntarily or willingly do something, right? There's levels to following Christ. Would you die for Christ? Most people, absolutely. Will you live for Christ? Well, that becomes a harder discussion is what I'm getting at. And so when you look at, hey, what would you do for liberty? A lot of people, when confronted with a forced choice such as the Clarks, you know, they'll stand tall for liberty. But the difference of one saying, hey, any man or two man, you know, liberty is more important than those. You got to say this. What about when he signed the Declaration of Independence? That was a different deal than being forced later. Because that was an agency. That was a choice. And the consequences follow, right? But I say do what is right. Let the consequence follow. I say we've got to start to stand up as the Founding Fathers did and engage in willing personal sacrifice by taking action. Lol, that's a whole nother level here that I think we ought remember as well, because Abraham did both. Abraham Clark did both. Are we willing to do both?
Well, that's a great point, Sam. I totally endorse that thought as well. We can't just say, okay, I'll die for liberty. We need to live for liberty. And by that, I mean, we need to take actions every day in the sacred cause of liberty, whether it's calling your public servants, helping them understand where you know, your position on an issue, whether it's running for city council, running for a seat on the local school board, to get rid of critical race theory and sexual education in the schools that perverts and corrupts the minds of our youth, whether it's running for a county commissioner or even a state legislature position. I mean, these are the ways, or if you're a mother, teaching your children the proper role of government. I mean, that is one of the most important things you can do in the sacred cause of liberty, to raise righteous children who understand the proper role of government, who are not willing to steal from each other to satisfy their wants. I mean, there's so many important things that you can do in the cause of liberty, and we, in other words, you can't just talk about it. We must be doers of the word as well. And so I think that's the point you're making, Sam. Very good point.
Absolutely. And one person who was willing to live for liberty, besides, of course, Abraham and Sarah Clark, wonderful patriot examples to look to, no question. Real role models, ladies and gentlemen, a whole lot different than the old Martin Luther King lie. By the way, that wasn't even his real name. Did you know that? His name was Michael, just so you guys know. Okay, all the lies right from his name on down seem to permeate our society. But we live for the sacred cause of liberty. You know, one man who has done so is Ron Paul. Like or dislike any of his politics, I happen to love them and agree with him on almost everything. But this guy was willing to live for liberty in Congress. In my mind, in modern day, what a hero. One of the least compromised people to ever sit there in our lifetimes and beyond. This guy's a patriot's patriot. And even after he got out of Congress, even after he retired as a physician, he's still been doubling down for the sacred cause of liberty to the best. Is he older than Donald Trump? Anyway, they're close, right? He's older, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, but he still takes his time, spends his days in this sacred cause. There's a man who lives for liberty, Lowell.
He writes this. He says, we need a revolution. And you ask yourself, what? Ron Paul's calling for a revolution? What? Well, he's not talking about a violent revolution, but a peaceful revolution of ideas. He wrote this in his column last week, Sam. This revolution aims to replace the authoritarian interventionist ideology that dominates both the left and right wings of the ruling class. To replace them with the ideas of liberty. Such a revolution would restore respect for individual liberty, constitutional government, free markets, a non-interventionist foreign policy, and sound money. The revolution of ideas would resolve social conflicts by getting the government out of social issues and instead allowing private property owners to, for example, decide who can and cannot use which restroom on their property. It would also restore control over education to parents. The goal is to respect the rights of each individual to live their lives as they choose, as long as they do not violate the rights of others to do the same. A free market with a sound currency would release lower-income Americans from the Federal Reserve inflation tax, as well as provide them with expanded economic opportunities. The growing economy would reduce tensions between races and lead Americans to view immigrants as an asset rather than a burden. Wonderful column, Sam, talking about peace, prosperity, and liberty. Sam?
We need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, and I understand that's a little different than the words I use for the greatest restoration, but you know what? Really, if we talk about a peaceful revolution and a restoration, it's the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. Can we return to what made America great? I think we can.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen to
it? Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation, and he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, rejecting Martin Luther King Day, standing for the sacred cause of liberty day. Will you die for the sacred cause of liberty? Are you willing to live for the sacred cause of liberty? Abraham Clark, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, certainly was. An amen to him and a kudos to him and his dear wife, who was just as bold, just as dedicated, just as committed as her dear husband. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a revolution, says Ron Paul. You're going, what? He's talking about a peaceful revolution of ideas, how to take back America, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Great, great work by Ron Paul. His life has been dedicated to liberty, and man, he's done an honorable job in doing so. All right, with the final segment, ladies and gentlemen, we never have enough time with Lowell, by the way. Great work, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Spread the word. Get a hold of your state directors in Campaign for Liberty and get involved, because they just do a phenomenal job holding to the line. By the way, a Campaign for Liberty is an outgrowth of Ron Paul's dedication to the sacred cause of liberty. And just think of how many people are involved now across the country, tirelessly working to preserve your God-given inalienable rights to protect God, family, and country. Anyway, in the final segment, there's two articles or two stories or whatever you want to call them that I want to discuss. They're really similarly minded, if you will. First one comes from a John Birch Society email. Well,
H.R. 5746 says the major federal election takeover bill, the power grab by the federal government, they want to take away from the state the power to conduct elections. They want to be the ones to dictate how states conduct elections. It's called the Freedom to Vote Act, or the Freedom to Vote John R. Lewis Act. It's, again, H.R. 5746. The U.S. House approved this bill last week on a 220-203 vote. And the U.S. Senate is expected to vote on it today or tomorrow, most likely tomorrow. And so this is an action item that I hope our listeners will write down and do today. And that's the call your U.S. senators, and politely but firmly insist that they oppose this bill, this H.R. 5746, H.R. 5746, and any other bill that undermines election integrity. This bill, among other things, would do the following: force each state to provide automatic voter registration for everyone with a driver's license, require states to provide online voter registration, same-day voter registration, and to provide at least 15 consecutive days of early voting, including both weekends. Make vote by mail nationwide policy. Make ballot drop boxes nationwide policy. Weaken states' abilities to clean up their voter rolls. And limit state legislatures from redrawing congressional districts as they see fit. Wow. Establish a pre-clearance process that forces the states to gain permission from the U.S. Department of Justice before implementing any change in their election laws. That's what this bill would do. It's a power grab by the Congress, by the general government. It would undermine, erode even further the authority of the states. Folks, we must not let this happen. So please call your U.S. senators today and ask them politely but firmly insist that they oppose this bill, this H.R. 5746, and any other bill that undermines election integrity. Sam?
This is kind of where we're saying, are you willing to live for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen? We're asking for how long will it take for you to call Congress 202-224-3121 and literally talk to them and say, hey, you know what? I need you to stand against this bill, okay? I really need you to jettison H.R. 5746, okay? There would be a loss of freedom in this freedom to vote. They always name these things. You know, the Patriot Act isn't very patriotic, for instance, kind of thing. We've got to stand up. This is where. How long would it take? 5 minutes to call your senator? Call your congressman? I know Congress has already passed it, so you say, well, why call your congressman or whatever else? But because, ladies and gentlemen, they can still put pressure. They still meet together behind the scenes. So we got to put pressure everywhere we can. And I'm telling you, the more pressure we put, the greater chance we have for success. We're talking about 5 minutes to make this phone call, and so we're saying to you, will you live for the sacred cause of liberty? We can do more, though, Lowell. And even though there are bad voting bills going on, there are great efforts of people doing just the opposite. The real goal to restore voting integrity and liberty is on the offing as well. So you got to, one, reject one bill and spend a little bit of time rejecting it, but then you got to spend, as we mentioned, will you live for liberty? Will you spend a little bit of your time in the right efforts as a contrast to the wrong efforts? So it's one thing to say, well, I agree that, you know, we don't want bad bills. It's another to push to reject the bad bills. It's even further than to spend your time advocating for and working towards the right things, Lowell.
And one of those right things is happening right now in Utah. Efforts to eliminate vote by mail in Utah via initiative petition. Those efforts are underway even as we speak. The petitions have been printed, and registered voters throughout Utah now may sign that petition in person. Can't sign it electronically. You got to sign it in person on a packet that you get from SecureVoteUtah.org, because those are produced according to state code, and they're sequentially numbered. They're serialized. And in those packets, you can submit your name and contact information, and that's how your name gets counted as a supporter of this initiative petition. Now, if you don't know where to find a petition to sign, then go to SecureVoteUtah.org. I'm talking just to people in Utah now. SecureVoteUtah.org, and give us your name and contact information. We will see that a petition carrier contacts you. We also devoted a webpage on this site to businesses that have agreed to host a petition that you can sign. So we're doing everything we can to connect people who want to sign with people who have a petition to sign. And so now this proposed law, Sam, makes 25 changes to existing law. And you can read all 525 at SecureVoteUtah.org. But I'm thinking that we could just cover maybe the first few changes today in hopes of inspiring citizens in other states to take responsibility for election integrity in their states as well. We need to eliminate these chain of custody issues, eliminate the computers and other electronic counting machines. We need to return, folks, to proven methods that ensure fair elections and that increase voter confidence in the election process. You know, one of the big things that Democrats were saying was that, well, we don't like these laws that people are trying to enact because they suppress the vote. Well, I'll tell you what suppresses the vote. It is the lack of confidence in the election process. Now, if we restore fairness, transparency, and to the election process so the voters have confidence in it, that will do more than anything to increase voter turnout. Because why would you cast a vote if you didn't think it mattered, right? You only cast a vote if you think your vote matters. And so that's why we need to eliminate the vote by mail, eliminate the chain of custody issues, and so forth. So here's one change that this proposal makes here in Utah. It says voters must register 30 days before the election. Well, this gives time for election officials to verify that the person applying for registration to vote is actually a resident. And it gives them time to prepare the voter roll for each precinct in the state, because the elections are done by precinct, and their votes are counted in each precinct in the state. We have over 2,000 precincts in the state of Utah, and instead of centralizing the vote counting at a county clerk's office, we're saying, let's spread that out and count the vote in every single precinct in the state. That's the first change, Sam.
So let me show the contradiction really quick.
Yeah.
H.R. 5746 says let's vote way early.
Mm-hmm.
The SecureVoteUtah.org effort says, no, let's make sure the registrations are legitimate early, but let's not have anybody vote early at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have everybody vote in a way that's clear, transparent, and countable. See the opposition there, the difference, ladies and gentlemen, of what we're advocating for? Go ahead, Lowell.
Thank you. And the we do provide for absentee voting for those who cannot vote in person, but that is a key change here that we're proposing. We want people to vote on election day in person. Now, if you can't be there, then you simply request an absentee ballot. And then the county clerk will send to you an absentee ballot. You cast your ballot, mail it back to the county clerk, and then the county clerk will distribute your ballot to your precinct on the day of the vote on election day for counting. And so that your neighbors, the voluntary election judges in your precinct who are conducting the election and counting the ballots, they will actually count your absentee ballot along with all of the others which are cast in person. And you're exactly right, Sam. This is very different from what H.R. 5746 proposes, that what Congress is saying, that we need to allow, 2 weeks of voting, you know? And we want to mandate, make it national policy that all voting be done by mail. Well, that introduces huge chain of custody issues, as can be seen simply by looking at what happened in the 2020 general election. So the second point is that back to the Utah proposal here, that in the initiative proposed law here. Second point is voters must produce Utah issued photo ID to register to vote, and ditto when a voter casts his ballot. Right. So you need an ID in order to participate. It only makes sense. Number three, those absentee voters must provide an affidavit explaining why they cannot vote in their precinct on election day, right? You can't just ask for it. You got to have a good reason. and then number four, drop boxes no longer permitted for the mailed ballot. In other words, we don't want drop boxes just sitting there unattended and easy prey for stuffing, you know, ballots in there. And the last point I'll just make, and I'm just covering the first five of the 25 changes here today, but absentee ballots must be returned with a copy of photo ID before the election, you know, be postmarked on Friday before the election day, which is always on a Tuesday. The same linkage to photo ID that occurs at polls must be maintained with the ballots that will still be mailed in. So even if, in other words, you have photo ID to vote in person, and if you're going to vote absentee, then you provide photo ID with the absentee ballot. It just makes sense. It just makes sense because it reduces chain of custody issues. A ballot on the coffee table at home, that's not a secret ballot. So anyway, this is a sample, Sam, of the changes that this proposal here in Utah is making, and hopefully it will be inspiring to citizens of other states to do similar things in the cause of election integrity. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. These two efforts could not be more contrasting. H.R. 5746, do everything you can. Call your congressmen and senators to reject it. SecureVoteUtah.org. We hope to inspire citizens in Utah to jump aboard, and citizens in other states to take responsibility for their election integrity. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to eliminate all these chain of custody issues, these computers, and all these things that literally make people lose confidence in the election process. We got to restore that confidence, ladies and gentlemen, and transparency and accountability will do just that. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.